This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at fullycookedbacon.com. That's fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing, gotta stop.
They may not always have seen eye to eye, but now the U.S. President and Pope Francis have met face to face. A cordial handshake for the cameras was followed by a private audience between Donald Trump and the pontiff. It could have made for an interesting discussion, as the pair have clashed over several issues in the past, including migration, rampant capitalism, and global warming. Trump was accompanied by his wife Melania and daughter Ivanka, dressed in black in keeping with Vatican protocol that is no longer always observed by visiting female dignitaries. The meeting comes midway through the U.S. leader's first foreign trip, which has seen him travel to Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the Palestinian territories. Later on Wednesday, he will travel to Brussels to meet with EU and NATO officials, another meeting which promises to be tense, given his criticism of the international bodies in the past.
Well, the Trump tour continues in Europe. How do you feel about your president? And I would say probably those that have been supportive of Donald Trump are encouraged. I think some that have almost anticipated some major mistake from someone of, Donald Trump's intellect and understanding, and of course those that have tried to present this president as a buffoon or a clown, what do they say now? They're quite quiet. The crickets are sounding. There's not much to be critical about this president. Donald Trump did say that after meeting the Pope that it was an honor of a lifetime to meet the Pope. So maybe some things got mended along the way. A lot can be said about communicating with people. It's one thing when you hear in an 8-second soundbite what seems to be an attack. But then when you sit across the table from someone and get to know them and can read the body language, a lot of misunderstandings can be cleared up. And it seems that there are some, maybe some of that dynamic took place in the meeting between the Pope and Donald Trump. Curious to see what happens. As we were talking with Michael Rubin, is this going to open the door for some sort of cooperation between the Vatican and what Donald Trump has kind of set the stage for? And that is, a movement, a dramatic movement in the Middle East for peace. Now, I'm not to the point. Certainly there's nothing there's not a sign here. In fact, there's more anti-signs than positive signs about a hope for peace between Israel and Palestine. But certainly within the greater Middle East, there's a lot more cooperation, as Michael Rubin said, when you consider what Israel, what they've been able to do with their neighbor, with their Arab neighbors, quite astounding. And a lot of people would not be aware of this. Mainstream media is not reporting on this. Of course, we hear from the UN, and we saw what happened toward the end of the Obama administration when they chose to take one giant step backward in support of our greatest ally there in the Middle East, and what shamefully they did to Israel. That has been the optics, that has been the perception that's been put out there. But I see that a lot has been mended, and there's great opportunity. I think there's some positive momentum going on to where the Pope could do something in a very, very neat way in the name of peace to come alongside, how God is using these two men, Pope Francis and Donald Trump and the other leaders, even all these other, incredible things that have been happening, like in Manchester. Can we let it be for good? Is there some good that can come out of it? Right now, with the wounds so fresh, it's hard to think of that. But that's on top of everything else, on top of our prayers that we say and feel and speak out to the families of those that have been impacted by that disaster, by that terrorist attack there in Manchester. It is absolutely heartbreaking. We pray also for the greater good of the world at large for peace.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Want to drop me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. I'm still smiling, I got to tell you. My granddaughter is in New York. Sent me a selfie of her, my favorite daughter-in-law. So they're there enjoying New York right now, and she sent me a selfie of her across the street from our billboard there on 42nd Street. Right next to Dave and Buster's, and across from Madame Trousseau's, that's where it's located. And you know, every hour you see Bill Martinez live, and the announcement of our presence there in New York at WNYM. So appreciated that. It's very touching, as you can imagine. And speaking of grandchildren, as you know, education has been a high interest and a topic that we've talked about on many occasions. And our next guest is going to give us some insight to the question why our children's learning in school is consistently below world-class standards. I know that's a question that you've asked from time to time, but Cornelius Grove, who's the managing partner of the consultancy Grovewell, is also an independent scholar and author of iconoclastic books on education. And that question haunts him. I know that. Dr. Cornelius Grove, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you, Bill Martinez, and I'm in New York, too, but not near 42nd Street at the moment. I'm over in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. Home formerly of the Dodgers, which we love dearly. I was a West Coast boy and, embraced the Dodgers, and along with it, of course, a bit of the Brooklyn attitude just for fun.
Well, I don't know if you get it from me. I'm not originally from here, but I've lived here a very long time now.
Well, it's such a great place. So, good to be talking to you. And, of course, I love New York. I go there quite often. In fact, I'm due to go back, go up there. I'm in Florida, so I'm going to be up there in about 3 weeks. So looking forward to getting together with some friends, maybe catching a play or two, because I'm a theater buff. I love the theater. So whenever I'm there, I always find an excuse to, catch a show or two just for fun.
And I might be showing up in Florida because my brother's about to buy a condo on Anna Maria Island.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Excellent. So we're going to have an open house party, are we? I'll look for the invite. I'll bring some wine, whatever we need.
Well, it's his condo. I don't know.
I'm just teasing. Dr. Grove, on topic now. That is the big question. We ask ourselves, what is going on with our school system? For all the money that we put into it, what is happening? Why does our public school system continue to fail the kids of America?
Well, that certainly is a question that has animated my work as an independent scholar for now nearly for 10 or 12 years. And My current book, which will just be out in about a week now, The Drive to Learn, I took a slightly different tack on trying to wrestle with this problem. I have noticed that over many decades, certainly all the decades I've been alive, there has been a great deal of interest in school reform, and it comes in many varied shapes and sizes, and there tend to be fads that come and go and so forth. But what I noticed about all of them, really without exception, is that all these reforms pay attention to what adults are doing. They look at teachers, they look at administrators, they look at board members, they look at other decision makers such as state legislatures and people in state departments of education and even in our national department of education. And they keep wanting to bring about changes or trying different changes in all of these areas, which are all controlled by adults. But what's really interesting is nobody's looking at the children.
Exactly.
And I said, you know what? It's not the adults who aren't learning as well as we want them to. Mm-hmm. It's the children who aren't learning as well as we want them to. The children are part of this problem, and so they really need to be part of the solution. Let's look only at the children, and this is what I did. How did I do it? Well, it turns out that besides being an educator, and I do have a doctorate in education from Columbia University, I also am very interested, and this is as a result of my studies at Columbia University many years ago, I also am very knowledgeable about and very fascinated by anthropology. Anthropology obviously looks at how people live and what they think and what their opinions are and their values and their assumptions are in different cultures. And I've become aware some years ago that this same question, this very same question that you and I are talking about right now, has been of interest in the scholarly community for nearly 50 years, to the point where between 1970 and the present, over 500 studies have been done to try to understand what is going on in East Asia being China, Japan, and Korea, and with respect to children's learning and how people think children are learning and how they should be learning, and looking at parenting and looking at schooling and looking at school-parent relationships, and all of these things have been grist for anthropologists and sociologists and psychologists and people in other disciplines, although most of them are anthropologists, looking at East Asia and looking at the United States, and some of the studies also make explicit comparisons of some of these factors. And I said, here is a treasure trove of data, and the real shame is that the anthropologists only talk to each other. They don't talk to the rest of us. But since I'm an independent scholar and not attached to any university, I don't have to be guided by those ways of thinking. And I thought, right, I am going to really sink myself into this literature, more than 500 studies over more than 40 years, and see what it has to tell us about, and this is the subtitle of my book, What the East Asian Experience Tells Us About Raising Students Who Excel. So that's what I've done.
Wow, that's a lot of work. I know that in your book, The Drive to Learn, What the East Asian Experience Tells Us About Raising Students Who Excel. I mean, that's a great comparison right there, because we have seen it. The evidence is rather obvious that the East Asian experience is trumping, if I might say, no pun intended, what's happening here in the West. And I'm going to have you break that down more. We're going to go to break here right now.
Okay.
So this is the foundation of this next segment of the conversation that we'll have with Dr. Cornelius Grove. Why are children's learning in school is consistently below world-class standards? And when you think about all the money that we invest in the education system here in the United States of America, Is it no wonder that most of us are very dissatisfied with the results that we're getting right now? More from Dr. Grove right after this. Stay with us. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent pending technology.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hours. We come to you fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Our conversation with Dr. Cornelius Grove continues. Dr. Grove is a managing partner of the consultancy Grovewell, also an independent scholar and author of iconoclastic books on education. And we're talking about why are children's learning in school consistently is below world-class standards. And we laid the foundation of his new book, The Drive to Learn, which will be released next week, Dr. Grove, right?
I believe it's going to be next week.
Okay, and it'll be available at all the usual places. And for those for those of you that are interested in education, this is a must read. A lot of research went into this as he compared. I mean, we compared the obvious. You know, let's compare the United States with East Asian countries. Why are they so successful? So the Drive to Learn is what the East Asian experience tells us about raising students who excel. So all this research, Dr. Grove, I mean, volumes, and we're talking years of experience and documented research here.
Yes, and by the way, the researchers have come from many different nations as well. At first, this research was mostly carried out by Americans and Australians. This is back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But as we get into the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s, we have many researchers are actually from Asia themselves and others from Europe. So it's been quite a wide sense of national perspectives being brought to this under the aegis, of course, of the field of anthropology and other academic fields.
Exactly. Well, in the research and in your book, you explain why the current school reform efforts, no matter how well conceived, will never fully achieve the goal of improved student learning. That is shocking to hear this from you.
Well, I don't exactly explain that. My strong belief is that the reform, and I am not taking a position on any reform. I'm not saying I think that certain, you know, what is it, new math or whatever it is, you know, I think that's bunkum. I have absolutely no position. I'm saying all these reforms, all of them are focused on adults and adult decision makers, adult teachers, adult administrators, and so forth. And however good those reforms might be, however well-intentioned, they cannot make the big difference that we really want unless we also look at the students and make some changes in the students.
Well, when you consider the problem and the solution and in its full scope, you have to consider all players. And heretofore,
right,
you say, since the 70s, the move has been very much top-down, and there's not been any consideration of bottom-up. Go figure. So now you say, hey, how about if we get the kids involved, right?
Yes. I'm saying, what is it? What is going on that enables East Asian children to consistently outperform ours on every single international comparative test and other types of measures that has ever been done? And what I finally came up with after really immersing myself in this research literature is I can state it in a single sentence, and that sentence is, when compared with East Asian children, American children are less receptive to classroom learning. Now, first of all, let me be very clear. I didn't say that Americans are not receptive or they're totally unreceptive or anything about that. We're just making a comparative statement. We're making a big generalization on both sides, but I believe it's true that American children are less receptive to school learning than East Asian children. What do I mean by receptive? In my book, I define receptive as in this way. It means that a child, one, feels deeply committed to learning in school. In other words, he is ready. Secondly, he expects to work persistently in order to learn well. In other words, he's willing. And finally, he knows how to participate in the process of classroom learning. In other words, he is able. So less receptive, the concept of receptive means ready, willing, and able to learn, as I have just defined it. And I believe that the research record shows that, on the whole, Asian children are significantly more receptive to classroom learning than our American children.
Well, when you say that, okay, we know that's the results of something more foundational, though, don't we?
Well, it's a conclusion. I actually begin this book. It's actually on, it's in the preface. It's the third page of the preface where I state this. And then the rest of the book basically says, how did I reach that conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
how did I get here? What is it about the research that moves us to the point where you reach the conclusion that American children are less receptive? And what do we also know out of these 500-plus research reports? What can we glean from that about what can be done? And just to state it very simply, if children are less if it's a matter of children's receptivity, the solution, at least the solution that we have in East Asia, is in the home, not in the school. It's in the home. It's about parents. In the end, my book is directed to parents.
Mm-hmm. So it's the parents setting expectation and standards?
Well, that's one tiny little piece of it. But, mm-hmm. yes, we also have expectations in the United States. It's not that we totally lack expectations, but the expectations are different. And many, many, many other kinds of differences between how the culture of East Asia, in comparison with the culture of the United States, looks at children's learning, how they should learn, how do we think they do learn best, looking at parenting and schooling and school-home communication and all of these factors that go into raising children. Now, I should state at this point that I really believe the solution lies in the child's very early years of life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say that what I have to recommend is probably not going to be very effective with high school students, or perhaps not even with middle school students. But this is something that has to, because it pervades the culture of East Asia, and therefore because it pervades the culture of families in China, Japan, and Korea, it is something that is just always there. It's all around them. It's just who we are and what kind of attitudes we have about learning. It pervades everything. And so the kids, you know, get it from when they're toddlers and when they're, you know, trying to walk and learning to talk, and all the way up into the early grades, they have these different ways of thinking about children's learning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing that makes the difference. And, of course, I'm putting a lot of emphasis now on how we think about things, but how we think about that things goes then has an impact on our behavior, on mm-hmm. our behavior as parents, which in turn has an impact on behavior of our children.
Well, Dr. Grove, we only have about a minute left here, sadly. Can you sum up? I mean, I'm tracking with you here, so let's sum up. What is it that is so pervasive? I mean, it's all an attitude, and it's culturally immersed. Go ahead.
Yes, I believe that this is the question to ask. Who is responsible for your child's learning? Who is responsible? In America, the research shows that Americans generally are very, very interested in jump-starting their child's intelligence when he's very, very small. But when he finally goes to school, nursery school, kindergarten, especially as he starts getting into the number grades, American parents, while certainly being interested in his education, no question about that, they nevertheless draw back and think, well, it's mainly the teacher's responsibility now. In East Asia, that is not the case. In East Asia, the parents and the children, indeed the entire family, from day one are responsible for the children's learning.
Well, Dr. Grove, this conversation needs to continue. We need to have you back. Why are children's learning in school is consistently below world-class standards? More from Dr. Grove down the road. Stay with us.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas.
When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME66 to 321321.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
Show the mercy, show to you.
I'll tell you, I agree with Donald Trump. You know, we need truth warriors out there, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you're in, but you need to be in. If we're going to get this country back on track and push back on this insanity that's going on. I mean, listen to what Rod Rosenstein, what he said in the appointment of Robert Mueller. He says, as I stated many times, a thorough investigation will confirm that what we already know, there is no collusion. Oh, no, that was Trump's. I'm sorry. Let me go back to Rosenstein's statement. He says, my decision is not a finding that crimes have been committed or that any prosecution is warranted. I have made no such determination. What I've determined is that a special counsel is necessary in order for the American people to have full confidence in the outcome. I mean, Rachel Alexander, senior editor at The Stream, is with us. Rachel, we've got, what, three investigations going on right now? FBI, you've got a Senate, you've got a congressional investigation, and now with a dubious explanation, he says, we need a special counsel.
It's ridiculous. And like Trump himself said, with all the crimes and things that Obama did, there was never a special counsel set up to investigate him. I mean, Trump's barely been in office for, what, 120 days or something? And,
right.
And really, we already have the special counsel. Dianne Feinstein, okay, she's a leftist. She said she hasn't seen any evidence of, like, collusion with Russia. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're in hysterics. The Democrats are in meltdown, and these wimpy Republicans are going along with them. And instead of you know, saying, wow, Trump has done an incredible job his first 100 days in office, he's gotten more accomplished than anybody, they're trying to spin it the other way and say Trump is just in disarray. He's just a mess. He's just committing crimes. He needs to be investigated. I mean, I feel like it's 1984, you know, where, you know, yeah. the truth is the opposite of what it really is.
Yeah. Up is down. Down is up. Left is right. It's totally screwball-y, no doubt about it. And then look at you. You got, Congressman Green from the Well of Congress saying, Mr. Chairman, it is with, heavy of heart that I must declare the impeachment of our president of the United States. But it was interesting, because Maxine Waters, who says that she never said impeachment, but I keep seeing video where she says impeachment. In fact, the impeachment has come back on her that back in her home district in Englewood, I was just there last week, and there's signs all over, impeach Maxine. So, to what we were talking about earlier, is there's going to be a boomerang effect, I believe, and that might be the only value of this Mueller appointment, is that the Democrats and the establishment will rue the day that they put this in motion. Because I'm saying, look, if you're going to investigate this, do the whole enchilada. Let's do all the obstruction, all the voter fraud that's gone on. I mean, whether it was the Russians or whoever it is. I mean, what kind of what is the state of the union of our political process and people's legitimacy to be able to vote?
Yeah, I hope they do look at all that. I just don't trust them. But, like you said, they've become unhinged. I'm to the point where, I can't even look at a regular news source without having to go fact check it, because
exactly.
They're all just full of histrionics and lies. I've got this boyfriend who likes to listen to NPR in the car now. And so everything I hear, he repeats back to me, and it's not accurate. It's fake news.
Right.
I hear something from NPR that he tells me how Trump had this meeting with the Russians and he only allowed the Russian media in. He did not allow the U.S. media in. And I'm like, I'm not even going to argue with you about that, because that doesn't even sound accurate. And sure enough, I go and I Google it, and that's what the New York Times headline says. And you start reading the article, and that's not at all what happened. Trump let in an official, state photographer from the
Russians,
and an official state photographer from the White House. That's all.
Yes.
Right. Just lies, lies, lies. And I'm so fed up with it. I'm so sick of it. I can hardly read CNN or the New York Times. Trump's right. They're so dishonest. They're at a frenzy level now. And I only read them if there's no other source possible to get the news from.
And Rachel, as a senior editor yourself, and one who honors, the principles of journalism, what makes this so dangerous is that it has opened the door to fake news like never before. Yes, during the the campaigns, the presidential campaigns, you had operatives, even 60 Minutes exposed them. They said, yeah, that's what we do. We get eyeballs. We're looking for clicks, and we just put these stories out there. They know it's fake news. They're putting it out there, but some of the people don't know enough to double check and to verify like what you do. And I've become like you. I double, triple check on things. I mean, I did get caught once on an ABC thing, because it said abc.com, and I saw the URL. It looked legit. Yep, but it was abc.com, and then there was an additional URL extension to it, and I was going through real quick, and I got caught. Fortunately, I didn't get on the air big time to start talking about it, but it was one of those things, you learn, and you learn through the process. But, Rachel, I wanted to talk to you about this other, thing. I mean, you talk about a crime that has happened that's been overlooked, is this Seth Rich murder. Supposedly, they said it was, cause he was, it was a robbery, a failed robbery, but nothing was stolen. I got a report from a doctor, and I'm still checking this out, but I will put it out to you and let you know that it's still yet to be verified, but it's out there. Supposedly there was a doctor there, one of the attending doctors for Seth Rich, and he said, against protocol and everything, when Seth Rich was there, there were people that came in, got some nurses out of the way, got doctors out of the way. They took over. He said that Seth Rich's injuries were not that fatal. He had seen many like that he could have survived. And he said, within a day or two, he was dead. And it just raises a lot of suspicion. This is from the original attending doctor. Yeah, I mean, this was something that he sent out.
Oh, my.
He himself sent this out. So, this is all... but this is, again, another one of those Clintonian deals. I mean, it's almost like anybody that works for the Clintons, it is weird. I mean, you Google Clinton deaths and you see all this lineup of people who had died that have been associated with the Clintons. Now, I understand we're tiptoeing around some tinfoil hat kind of conspiracy stuff here, but boy, man, this is starting to walk like a duck and look like a duck and talk like a duck, and it's just like, it just keeps on going. And well, then and now like they're finding out. Go ahead.
And I like to say, you know, I have no love for former President Obama, but you never hear about an Obama body count. And the thing is about this Seth Rich case is this is the closest we've ever gotten to proving that there is a Clinton body count, because this one, you know, it's almost there. Like if Julian Assange just finally comes out and says, yes, that is the guy who leaked all the Democratic emails to me, you know, we've just about got him. Now all we need is the, you know, who murdered him. But
exactly. Well, and for Julian Assange to put 25,000 up, I mean, is that, you know, kind of a signal of implication right there? You
right.
know,
why are they putting up the reward money? I mean, right. why are they so interested in the case? And he's never denied that Seth Rich is not the leaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's in fact said it, you know, he's a young Democratic, you know, disgruntled staffer. I think he's the one who actually said that. So, I mean, all evidence points to him.
And what are you finding out from the experienced investigator who was hired by the family to look into this?
Well, the left is having a field day with the fact that, oh, he really wasn't the one who investigated. He was just, he's recanted. No, he didn't recant. He merely said he's basing his opinion on this inside anonymous federal investigator's report. That person really did see the emails and the laptop in the investigation, and that person said there's 44,000 emails that were found on Seth Rich's computer that he had sent to WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm. Well, so and once again, we have laptop controversy, except for Wiener, I guess, who's being he is being sentenced today, right? He pled guilty. His is the only laptop. The other laptops have either been destroyed or somewhere they're being hidden away from us to keep us from the truth. Rachel Alexander, senior editor at The Stream. Rachel, always good to be talking to you. Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right, get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Lifetime Grace 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there, and if you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you, Bill at Bill Martinez Live. Stephen Clifford is with us, served as the CEO for King Broadcasting Company for 5 years and National Mobile TV for 9 years. His previous jobs included Chief Financial Officer for King Broadcasting Company and Vice President for Bankers Trust Company, has been a director of 13 public and private companies as well. Stephen Clifford, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, good to be here to talk about this topic and about your book, which is one of those things that it's really hard-pressed to explain, and maybe that's why you wrote the book, and that has to do with the compensation of top CEOs. You know, during the, particularly the last, you know, administration, the last 8 years, it seems the CEOs won at every turn. We see repeatedly the huge payouts to CEOs, and meanwhile, we're in the midst of a languishing economy, high unemployment, regardless of these job numbers that they try to tell us. We know reality on Main Street. It's disturbing, and it really just serves to provide narrative, added narrative to this haves and have-nots kind of scenario we have in this country.
Well, not only provides narrative, it's, in fact, I believe, causative. I believe one of the reasons that the average working person has not gotten a raise in real income, inflation-adjusted income, since 1980, is the fact that CEOs have gotten a tenfold increase. And I think those two are very related. And
well,
so I think it's not just obscene pay. I think it's causing a lot of harm to a lot of people.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, because then here it is, you know, we get this argument of the top 1% and the noted greed here. You know, even David Stockman was on with us, you know, several months back and said, Bill, you know, there hasn't been, you got to really think about, there has not been one net Brett, what he would define as a Brett-winning job in America since 2000, which adds credence, you know, to what you just said in terms of what's not happened, you know, since the 80s. So the everyman has taken it on the chin.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a large part of that is due to what I call a CEO pay machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 1978, CEOs in this country were making... when I say CEOs, I mean Fortune 500 CEOs. They're making 26 times what the average worker makes. Today, they're making 350, and if you include their stock options, 550 times what the average worker makes. By the way, in Japan to ratio is 16. So either CEOs today are worth 20 times what their predecessors were, or 30 times what Japanese CEOs are worth, or something's gone terribly wrong. And I think something's gone terribly wrong.
Yeah, and the thing that's amazing is that it affects everything. I mean, even at the federal level, our government, the way it operates, it looks at some of these scales and says, well, you know, if they can make that kind of money, why shouldn't the federal government, you know, they may look at it and say, the American people are getting such a deal. Well, I don't know that we're getting such a great deal when we're $20 trillion in debt. And we've been arguing all this morning here that, you know, you've got the senator and congressman still getting their pay and their health care. Everything's rolling along okay for them. But Main Street America is without a job, and they're not even sure what doctor they can go to right now.
That's right, and you know, the irony of this of the CEO pay is that it has nothing to do with the market. This is companies don't bid for other companies' CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
So this it's a administered, rigged system that CEO pay consultants put in. So when I say there's no market. If you, in these large companies, less than 2% of the CEOs were CEOs of another public company prior to becoming a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Jumps between one company and another happen less than once a year. 75% of all CEOs are internal hires. And the reason they're internal is that to be an effective CEO, you have to know a tremendous amount about one company.
Mm-hmm.
Its history, its culture, its personnel, its
exactly.
finances, its marketing, etc. And those skills and that knowledge you get as an internal candidate, but they're not worth much outside that company. And so companies don't rate each other for CEOs. There's not a market for CEOs. CEOs seldom jump to another company. And when they do, by the way, they're usually failures because they don't understand that company very well.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have this insane pay, and all these people say, oh, isn't the free market wonderful? And then they neglect the free market completely when it comes to how they pay their own CEO.
Now, you're saying this is being done by the consultants. Explain to our audience how this works, Stephen.
Well, it's very complicated, but basically, the consultants, to 1980, from Second World War to 1980, CEOs were paid like everybody else. They were kept at about 20 to 25 times the average worker's pay, and every year they got a raise that was roughly equivalent to what everybody else in the company got. Then the pay consultants came in and said, we've got a whole new way to do this. This idea of, you know, internal equity, that what CEO makes, that should be in line with what other people makes, we're going to throw that out. And what the CEO's pay should be based on is what other CEOs are paid. So they started with this idea that you have a peer group. So a company, mm-hmm. the first step in this process is a company selects its group of peers, supposedly companies that are of equal size and complexity. In fact, what it is they select companies that have very highly paid CEOs. So you start off with a high base. Then the second step is a company decides where do we rank within this peer group? Well, mm-hmm. every company lives in Lake Wobegon. So they generally rank themselves at the 75th percentile. So now
right.
the CEO is paid at the 75th percentile of this very highly paid peer group. Third step is the CEO then negotiates bonus measures and targets with the comp committee, and the CEO is in a very good negotiating position, and he will surpass these targets 80% of the time and, you know, double the amount that was targeted for his pay. And then wonderfully, this huge pay that he's just received goes back into the peer groups of all his peers. They immediately get a bump because he got a big pay.
Exactly, sure.
And then because their pay went up, his pay will automatically go up next year. So what you've got is this giant game of leapfrog, which is assured to make CEO pay rise at skyrocket while the average guy gets nothing.
And, I mean, what about the boards? You know, they have a responsibility to the stockholders. They just go along with this? I mean, this is just the way it is, and, you know, there's no pushback on this? I mean, this is absolutely ludicrous, it would seem on its face.
It is ludicrous, and, you know, there's absolutely no justification for it, but boards are going along with it because, you know, one, the CEO, he's a good guy. He's the captain of the team. He may have invited them on the board. Two, he has all the information. They have no staff, no institutional memory. So, three, I don't think this ever motivates anybody, but it just so happens that board compensation, board fees, and CEO pay are highly correlated. So the more he gets paid, the more a board fee is. And at these companies, you're talking about annual board fees of $250,000 to $400,000 a year. It's not... Mm-hmm. It's not an inconsiderable amount. But I think the biggest cause of not asking any questions is, hey, everybody does it this way. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, the consultants have come in and said, this is the way we do it, and everybody does it this way.
So how much trouble are you getting yourself into by bringing light to this? I mean,
I'm an old man. They can't, you know, they can't do anything to me now.
So you've gone to enough cocktail parties. You know, one less cocktail party isn't going to hurt your feelings, right?
You know, I don't think I'm going to go back to any Harvard Business School reunions. But other than that, I don't think my life. You know, it's not going to affect my golf game very much.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm having a good time because I think this is an important issue. I think it's not just obscene pay. The fact is that it is hurting a lot of people, and mm-hmm. I think it's got to be reformed.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is that the takeaway for us should be is that, yes, whenever you have this inordinate imbalance, something has to suffer. And we're talking the everyman, the worker who is putting in their hard-earned time and productivity. It is at their expense, not to mention the consumer, because it always seems for those companies that are involved with consumers, it always comes back to the consumer as well, right?
Well, you know, you mentioned productivity, and it's interesting. From the Second World War to about 1980, the average wage was tightly linked to increases in productivity. So as the economy improved and productivity improved, the average worker got paid for it.
Right.
Since 1980, productivity has continued to increase.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, we've got to leave it there, but thank you very much. We've got to have you back. Stephen Clifford on Bill Martinez Live.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $2 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're being taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $2. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 45 blue pills or 45 yellow pills for $99 and add 5 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call us at 800-590-4987 and get your 50 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-590-4987. That's 800-590-4987. 800-590-4987.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you.